Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Just a week ago, on August 15th, we celebrated the great feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother into heaven. Today, just a week later, we celebrate the feast of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In Magnificat magazine, Father James Sullivan says something to us about Mary that I wanted to share with you. Also, he remarks on the fact that just 8 days ago, he said, we celebrated the solemnity of Our Lady's Assumption into heaven. Today, on this octave day of that great feast, we celebrate Our Lady's Queenship. This is not a liturgical coincidence, but rather a profound insight into the role of Mary and her continued mediation in the Church, in the world, and in the universe. No woman makes herself a queen. She does not decide one day to choose this for herself. A queen is not self-proclaimed. She is not elected. A woman becomes a queen by her relationship to another, either by marriage or by ancestry. Queenship is something bestowed upon her by another. This is an essential part of Mary's own queenship, as she was chosen by the Father to be the mother of his Son. Her relationship to Christ has brought a new depth and dimension to her person. As Mary has now entered heaven, body and soul, she has begun her reign as queen of that realm entrusted to her care, all of heaven and earth. But the greatest gift that the Blessed Mother offers us is not one of worldly power. Her queenship possesses greater riches. The gift of her reign is the gift of her Son. Our own relationship to Christ is what brings a new depth and a new dimension to our lives. As Queen, Mary always stands ready to reveal how fully this gift can be bestowed upon us as well. In another commentary, today's feast reminds us that holiness means depending on God. Mary is holy. Today's feast reminds us that holiness means depending on God. The queenship of Mary invites us to exercise our obedience to God in a way that results in not submission, but likeness. Listen to that. The primary call is not to submit. The primary call is that if we bow down, if we acknowledge Jesus as our Savior, if we acknowledge His Mother as our Queen and our Mother, then what happens is we become more and more like Jesus. We become more and more like him. St. Maximilian Kolbe wrote that Mary has a right to be loved as Queen of all hearts, so that through her hearts would be cleansed and themselves become immaculate, similar and like unto her own heart, and so worthy of union with God. Just let those thoughts ruminate. Allow them to ruminate, chew on them, ponder them, reflect on them. Ask your Heavenly Mother today on this feast of hers, ask her to lead you to her Son. Really ask her. The first reading today is taken from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 11 to 24. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O champion." Gideon doesn't think of himself as a champion. Read this whole section in the book of Judges. Get the whole context, as I'm just taking the excerpt that's given to us for today's Mass. "The Lord is with you, O champion." And Gideon said to him, "My Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are his wondrous deeds of which our fathers told us when they said, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? For now the Lord has abandoned us and has delivered us into the power of Midian, their enemy. The Lord turned to him and said, Go with the strength you have and save Israel from the power of Midian. What would you do if God came to you and said, Go and save this, do this? What would you do? And the Lord says, It is I who send you. But Gideon answered him, Please, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My family is the lowest in Manasseh. I am the most insignificant in my father's house. In other words, I'm nothing. And the Lord says, I shall be with you. The Lord said to him, And you will cut down Midian to the last man. Everything changes when we're seeking to do God's will and we unite our will with God's will. Gideon answered him, If I find favor with you, give me a sign that you are speaking with me. He's still flabbergasted. Do not depart from here, I pray you, until I come back to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he answered, I will await your return. So Gideon went off, prepared a kid, a measure of flour in the form of unleavened cakes, putting the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and lay them on this rock, then pour out the broth. And when he had done so, the angel of the Lord stretched out the tip of the staff he held and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. Thereupon a fire came up from the rock that consumed the meat and unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord disappeared from sight. And Gideon, now aware that it had been the angel of the Lord, said, Alas, Lord God, that I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. He's frightened. I really am dealing with the infinite. And I'm frightened. Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm the lowest in my father's house. And the Lord answered him, Be calm. Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built there an altar to the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. This is an encounter of God with his people. God wants to encounter us. God wants to speak to us in our hearts. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. If we live that out, it's true, and God draws very, very near to us because he wants us as his temples. That's what we are, a temple of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to reflect him. And we ask our mother, the Queen of Heaven, we ask her to pray for us. Like only a mother can, to pray for us, that we might more and more be like her son. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 23 to 30. Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. That's nigh impossible for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, Well, who then can be saved? If that's the case, who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and he said, For men, this is impossible. You can't make yourself holy. But for God, all things are possible. And then Peter said to him in reply, We've given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, Amen, I say to you that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name. In other words, even those things near to you and dear to you that you are intended to treasure. Nevertheless, you will be obedient to God and what God asks first of all. Because that is the very best position to be in for those you love. It sounds contradictory. Well, God, do this for them, and then I'll trust you. No. The call is to trust, just like Gideon was being asked to trust there. The weakest, the poorest of his family. And God could use him because he was willing. It was a battle, but he was willing to put his trust there. And so it is for each of us. Am I going to trust God, even when it doesn't seem to make human sense? Sending you out for an army that could overtake you in a split second. And the Lord would say to many of the Israelites, follow me, follow me. Even the parting of the Red Sea, he'd bring them through safely, whatever the harm was, because he was teaching them to trust him. And that's what God wants us to do, is trust him. My goodness, a father gives his only son to save us. Aren't you going to trust him? Think about it. Pray about it. Make a decision. It is a decision. It's not just in a feel-good moment you say, oh, Lord, I trust you, I love you, and then the next day you pull everything back. Ask the Lord, teach me how to trust you. Teach me how to trust in you. And sometimes you have to step out. Like Gideon had, you have to step out without seeing the reality of what God promises. But if you obey him, he's going to draw you much closer to himself. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name. In other words, we do it because we believe it's God's will. Test it out, absolutely. But when you're pretty sure I'm doing God's will, and you say yes to the Lord, whatever it costs you, you will receive 100 times more, and you will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I often think of the great ones, so to speak, of this world. The ones that are in the headlines, the ones that are prominent all over the world, the names we know. Brothers and sisters, it may be that some poor man or woman is begging on a street corner right now, today, totally insignificant. Nobody knows, nobody cares. It may be that man or woman that stands at the right hand of the Father, rather than those today who are famous and who exercise great power and authority. It all depends on how they relate to God. You can't make judgments according to the world. You've got to take on the values of the kingdom, because it is the kingdom that will last forever. This world will pass away. Its finery, its riches, its power will pass away. God alone remains. Put all your trust in him. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.